He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Best Stocks Now show on this Thursday. Actually, Wednesday, April the 27th. No, it's Thursday. And we have a good start to the market here so far, as the earnings continue to be really good. I mean, this is a good earnings season. This is the best one I've seen in a long time. The market should be behaving a lot better, but I think it's just those overhanging worries about First Republic Bank, probably, and other banks that are kind of keeping a lid on the market, really exploding to the upside. But we're doing okay today. The Dow's up 200. The Dow is at 33,500 now. The S&P is up 31 to 4,087. The NASDAQ, which, man, we've seen some blowout earnings this week from Microsoft, very good earnings from Google, very good earnings from Chipotle, obviously, and Meta just blew it out of the water yesterday. NASDAQ up 121, 11,975. Small caps not participating. There's one bugaboo there. They're only up 0.25% today, and the energy stocks are not participating today either, even though crude oil is up 45 cents to $74.75. Gold's down $7 to 1989. The 10-year is at 3.50 today, and it's up 7 basis points. That's a pretty good hike in interest rates. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst, and we'll be talking GDP in a minute. That's always important, but first let's just talk about this earnings season, which continues at a very good clip here. It's really one of the best earnings seasons I've seen in a long time, and yet the market has not reacted as well as it should, I guess because of still some of the overhanging worries about the banks, the banking system, individual banks, etc. And I think there's still worry about, you know, a recession later this year. And Barry, you know, look at the GDP. It came in at 1.1, but it wouldn't be that hard for it to slip into negative for a couple quarters, would it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, coming in at 1.1, which, you know, is expected to be 2%, so significantly under that. Of course, in the fourth quarter, it grew at 2.6%, so pretty significant change there. Yeah, and it, you know, in terms of, you know, going negative, right? It's you know, you've got a very thin margin when you're at a, say, a 1.1 percent growth rate for Q1 on that first reading. And I think probably the most concerning thing is just, you know, business expenditures, capital spending was down, and then of course inventories came down a good bit, which means, you know, companies aren't making as many things, and so they're you know, basically letting their inventory sell off to us as consumers. And eventually, if you don't replenish that inventory, well, then all of us are, you know, all of our dollars are chasing less goods, which, you know, could turn around and be a bit inflationary. So there's a kind of that. I think business spending, to me, capital spending is, you know, probably one of the key factors to kind of focus on, simply because that tells you, you know, the companies that we're investing in, what they feel about, you know, that environment going forward.
Yeah, okay. So, well, let's just look back. Yesterday was kind of disappointing for me because, you know, you had those blowout earnings, Microsoft and Chipotle, and the market was up so big in the morning. And by the end of the day, it was almost all gone. And that's, you know, that's a bad sign to see rallies being sold And we have seen that recently. And I'm hoping we can just chalk that up to this First Republic Bank. But maybe there is, you know, more worry about recession than we really realize out there. You know, the earning, and you know, the thing about these earnings results coming in, it's really across the board from all industries, and especially kind of consumer discretionary like Chipotle. You know, that's not something that's a staple. I guess for some people it is, but it's the discretionary, the airlines, travel, vacation, kind of the luxury end of the scale seems to be very, very strong. We're going to see more evidence of that here today.
When you had LVMH, in these earnings report. Like, remember early in the week, you had LVMH, who's Louis Vuitton and Chanel and some other big high-end luxury names. They, I think that company was one of the first company to ever go over $500 billion in Europe in terms of market cap. And so it's showing you that, you know, folks are still spending out there. It's just jobs. We got the latest weekly job claims today, which came in lower than expected. So we're kind of teetering back and forth between, you know, some slowing economic news, some better inflation numbers here and there, and, you know, kind of getting to grips on what's, you know, which direction the market's going. And usually you have the most volatility at these inflection points anyway. So that's kind of, I think, what we're seeing.
I think the jobs market is still, I think it is still hard to get help. That's, I have no doubt in my mind as I look around and as I visit, you know, all my usual haunts and whatnot, I think it's still hard to get help. You can't believe, I mean, you go to a restaurant, okay, Home Team Barbecue opened up a restaurant, a branch here in Mount Pleasant, and it's like just off the charts of how popular that is. So I took the whole family, you know, last night. I mean, we waited and we waited and we waited. It's just obvious that getting help, I mean, that's just one example. It's still very, very difficult. It's still a very tight jobs market. Now, my stepdaughter and her husband are out here from California where they live. They said that during the COVID, they were paying, in California, you were making $55,000 a year to not go to work during COVID. So she says a lot of those people, they're not incentivized to go back to work. Now, they're not getting the $55,000, but they're still getting a good portion of that. And if they get on unemployment and quit their current job, there's not a lot of incentive to stay with your job. Now, I don't know what it's like in other states, but this worker shortage is a big problem.
Well, okay. You have to be enticed. I mean, it's, you know, if you're making, you know, say 50 grand, you know, at, you know, hanging out at the house, you know, how much do you have to make to actually get out of the house to go to work, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like, you know, it's not 55,000, it's, you know, 75,000. Like, what's that, you know, what's that number, right? To get back motivated.
So anyways, it continues to be very, very tight. Now, tonight we're going to get earnings from Amazon. I'm really looking to Amazon for the real indicator. And, you know, I don't know which way it's going to go. On the one hand, you had UPS, which is obviously delivering less packages than expected. I don't know how much Amazon uses UPS. I'm not so sure that they use UPS that much anymore because of their own fleet of delivery services, but I think we're going to get the real state of the consumer. It could be blowout. It could be blowout numbers, just judging by these other retail companies that are reporting here recently. We're also going to get a report from Intel tonight. We'll see if there is some kind of a turnaround taking place at Intel, which seems to be kind of built into the stock a little bit, although it has come off somewhat here recently. So, you know, the fun, really all the big ones are kind of going to be in the books here. We'll get Apple next week. You know, we'll see where Amazon comes in here tonight. Okay, now, First Republic, it looks like it has stabilized a little bit here. But having said that, is teetering on the brink. It's up 13% today. I don't know if somebody has come in, like the government. I mean, who else would come in except the government?
That's what they're playing chicken right now.
Are they? I haven't heard anything from the government, which, look, how can they justify backstopping all the Silicon Valley bank depositors and really not saying a word that I know of? Maybe there is something out there that I haven't seen, and not backstopping, but pretty soon there aren't going to be any depositors to backstop because they're all going to be gone, right? All the money that's being held at First Republic Bank.
Nothing left to save.
Would you stay at First Republic? If you had had a couple hundred grand sitting at First Republic Bank? No. Well, maybe a couple, but over 250.
I don't want to go through the FDIC process.
I'm gone. Okay, when we come back, we will talk about the initial jobless claims. We'll get into the GDP a little bit, and then Meta's earnings. That's the big story of the day for me. This is Bill Gunderson.
Are you a diehard?
And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And, okay, so let's take a look at, well, let's first look at the jobless claims. Okay, they come in at, let's see, 230,000. That's not good. Yeah, well, what do you mean it's not good? Because we were expecting almost 250,000. And, but you know what? I don't think that changes anything. I don't think that, you know, that the Fed is going to say, oh, we still got a tight labor market. We're going to need to hike by 50 basis points, or we're going to need two or three more rate hikes. And here's why I say that. U.S. Q1, okay, this is fresh. This is fresh out of the oven. This is Q1, okay? This is the kind of the earnings report for the government, just like we're going over these earnings reports from Facebook and Microsoft and all these companies that are reporting. The government reports, they don't report their bottom line earnings because there obviously aren't any. There's a lot more going out than's coming in the U.S. government. And we get those numbers like every once in a great while. But the GDP comes out every quarter. And then it's revised a lot along the way. Okay, U.S. GDP rose 1.1% quarter over quarter, which is less than the 2% growth expected. That's a pretty big miss, right? Barry, if this was Apple reporting earnings,
that would be a, you know, yeah, they missed by, you know, in this instance it's almost a 50% miss, right? I mean, you can imagine any company, right, that has a miss of say 50%. Well, that's a, you know, that stock's gonna get hammered.
That's a huge miss. Now, also, you know, if you look at the last quarter of last year, it was 2.6%. So in 90 days, we've dropped from 2.6% growth to 1.1% growth. Now, my theory is this is also a very slow quarter for earnings. You know, this earnings season, even though it's really coming in good, it's still going to be 5 or 6% less than the same comparable quarter last year. And it would seem to me that this is the quarter that the wicked inflation is now showing up in, right? The inflation is now disappearing, but the overhang and these comparisons, we're going back, you know, when inflation wasn't as hot. Now, these quarters kind of still have that inflationary impact in them because I see there were increases in consumer spending, exports, federal government spending, state and local government, non-residential, but it was decreases in private inventory investment and residential fixed investment. Now, we know where the residential fixed investment issue is coming. That's what's coming
housing.
From, yeah, that, and the high interest rates, right?
Right, yep. And then, then companies aren't, in order to, one of the things that, you do as a company, right, you're either adding to inventory surplus, or you're selling current inventory. And this, at least for this quarter, you've got a lot of companies that are selling, getting into their inventory that's already been created. And so, a lot of this slowdown is the fact that inventories weren't built back up. And the problem is, if you do that over time, well, inventories get very, very low, and all of us are chasing those same dollars. Well, our dollars are chasing the same goods, and it could be, inflationary down the road. The other thing is, it makes sense, though. From a manufacturing standpoint, we've seen a lot of these manufacturing PMIs, right, whether it's here, whether it's abroad, have been, pretty negative in terms of, contraction type territory, which is evident, right, of that 1.1% GDP number.
Another big factor is the imports, right? We had a huge increase in imports.
Yep, and imports, as you import items, that ends up being a minus number when you're in the calculation of GDP. If you export more than you import, well, that's an addition to GDP. In the U.S., we're a net importer, so it's usually always, almost always, a negative number. It just depends on how negative it is, and that deficit's been pretty large over, particularly since COVID. We've been really consuming and bringing in everything we can, right, to fix some of those supply and demand mismatches that we've had since COVID.
Well, what we'd like to see, obviously, is this quarter that we're currently in, we'd like to see that GDP head back up the other way, okay? I mean, if we get another, just if you were to extend this out, in the direction it's headed right now, you could possibly get a 0% GDP in this quarter that we're currently in.
Well, and we're still spending. The other thing is part of and we can get to the PCE numbers in a minute, which we're a little reaccelerating a bit on the on the inflation side, but that personal consumption expenditures number. So the one thing that saved GDP this quarter was the fact that personal consumption went up 3.7%. It was only expected to go up, I think it went up 1% prior. So, it's the old adage that the U.S. consumer really, buoys not only our economy, but the world's economy in general. And so you've seen some consumer confidence numbers kind of tick down. But in terms of what people are, people are still spending. So and that's hard to not spend when you've got, employment as low, and unemployment as low as it is.
Yep. So, and that's showing up in these earnings reports, McDonald's,
exactly.
Chipotle, et cetera. Okay, let's
and
jump
CEOs
to
CEOs are doing a good job. I mean, I hate, there's always
thank
some
goodness
bad ones
for
out
CEOs.
There. Yeah, but in terms of running corporations, they're running some tight ships at the moment.
They're running some tight ships because they have to. Meta Platforms jumps. Let's see, how high is it? This stock was almost down and out. It got down to $88 per share. Back in November, I didn't get back on the ship. I should have. I guess we underestimated, talking of CEOs, Zuckerberg. I mean, now you've got from 88, you're at 239 today in less than a year. It was October.
Yeah, it's up 92% year to date. That's
unbelievable.
That's at 120, start of the year at 124.
The power of Facebook. This stock is up 13.8% today. This is the Chipotle report of the day here. And what are we giving credit to? Meta Platforms up 13% right now. Was it ads?
Yeah, ad sales huge. And the other thing is, too, if TikTok gets, gets banned, right? Well, the easy benefactor, right, is going to be Facebook. So there's another kind of piece to that as well.
Zuckerberg says we had a good quarter and our community continues to grow. Our AI work is driving good results across our apps and business. We're becoming more efficient. My hat is off to Meta. Unbelievable turnaround. And, of course, Zuckerberg had to have a lot to do with that. Okay, when we come back, well, there's a lot of other individual stocks in the news today. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now show.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. We got a good day going on in the market today. I've said it before, I'll say it again. In the real estate market, it's location, location, location. And in the stock market, it's earnings, earnings, earnings. And that's what's, you know, as I've looked at some days that should have been better recently than they ended up being, you know, I always go back to earnings. Eventually, it's going to come around to earnings again. That's the one thing you can't really fudge. Those earnings are earnings, and there's 500 different companies representing all of these various sectors of the U.S. economy. And, you know, seeing these earnings, there's another thing. I mean, these earnings, which are so good, aren't really jiving with the GDP report. So I have to kind of think that, you know, it's a kind of a one-off thing. You know, the other thing, Barry, I haven't heard any of these CEOs saying, we're preparing for really hard times ahead, you know? I mean,
right, yeah.
Have you seen any of that? No.
Sentiment-wise, you haven't seen a big change in, you know, in projections or go forward guidance. I mean, there's been, you know, it really has been kind of, you heard this term, kind of rolling recession, where you've had things almost roll through different parts of the economy at different times, which, you know, keeps the overall S&P earnings, right, still looking okay, but then different sectors have kind of fallen off at particular times during this whole last, say, 18 months or so.
And I would say another sector that really isn't participating, now they haven't reported their earnings yet. Intel's going to report tonight, but we haven't got earnings from AMD yet. There's a war going on between the U.S. and China, and not just the U.S., I mean the whole EU, about what to give to China as far as it relates to the chips, the semiconductors. Today, Germany is limiting the exportation of chemicals used for semiconductors to China. And a lot of these companies like ASM, they're grappling with you know, what they want to do in regards to what do we give China, what can't we give to China. And China is striking back. They're doing an investigation of Micron, right? So that's kind of why you're seeing the chip sector, even though the earnings are good and have been good and business is good, there's a war going on underneath the surface between pretty much the world, the free world, I guess, which is getting less and less all the time, it would seem, and China. And so I think that's kind of keeping a lid on the chips right now until that kind of gets settled. And, you know, like a lot of these companies, all of a sudden, you know, first it was Russia that, okay, we're not going to do any business with Russia. Now you're seeing China and the rest of the free world kind of at odds with each other. Europe finalized its own CHIPS Act in an effort to boost manufacturing capabilities. We're trying to bring as much home for production as we can to our respective countries and keep it away from China. So I think that's putting a lid. Now, another sector that, you know, we're talking glowingly about the earnings coming in. Yes, it's really a good earnings season. But like you say, there are some weak spots. I would say one spot that's very weak, well, the banks, obviously. But the REITs, the Real Estate Investment Trust, okay, as these tenants go down, like Bed Bath & Beyond and others, and let's not forget all the tenants that are around an anchor store like that, and the office REITs.
REITs, certainly.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so Vornado Realty Trust, which was a pretty big REIT at one time, is now down to just $2.8 billion. They own office, retail, and merchandise mart properties, which are pretty much all under fire right now. They suspended their dividend today until 2023. At the same time, they authorized a stock buyback, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Okay, you're going to cut folks off of the dividend, and you're going to use the money instead to do a buyback. But I think a lot of these REITs are in trouble. I look at the inverse real estate ETFs every day, just to see the state of it. I'm not seeing a lot of action in the inverse ETFs on real estate yet, but all of a sudden we're seeing quite a few of these real estate investment trusts with problems.
And it's global. I've seen it. So I read an article today about a big European office REIT, and it's has the same issues. Number one, occupancy, right? Folks haven't, certainly take New York City for example, right? Folks haven't gone back into the office near as much. They don't need those big spaces that they had before. And if they're going to have employees go back in there, there's a bunch of, a bunch of capital expenditures, right, that folks want done before they go back in there. So, reconfiguring offices and everything else. So it's you're talking about, having to spend money, right, before you can even make money in that particular market. It's certainly a big issue on the office side.
Okay, one other problem that showed up. I didn't realize Schlumberger and Halliburton. Schlumberger, I guess, isn't Schlumberger anymore. It's SLB. But if I said SLB, nobody would know what it is. It's Schlumberger. These two are two of the biggest oil companies in the world, not actually doing the production, but the equipment, providing the expertise. Mexico. Okay, Schlumberger and Halliburton warned Wednesday that the magnitude of unpaid work in Mexico has grown over the last 3 months. Now, I don't know what is going on. They're saying that there's no disputes or anything. They just haven't been paid. And it's now $1.2 billion in receivables.
And they haven't named, have they?
No.
They haven't named who it is. So, I mean,
well, Mexico controls pretty much Petromex or whatever it is. Pemex controls all the oil. It's got to be them. And, that's a little bit worrisome there something new. Okay, Lilly. Let's check on Lilly. They reported today their earnings, and that's pretty good. It's up. It's hitting a new... new all-time high, Eli Lilly, at $367 billion. I guess
they've got the obesity. Yeah, then they also have the drug, I think, that's been used for diabetes in the past. It's got some good, I think it's in late-stage look in terms of, being a big, could be potentially big for obesity, which has really kind of kicked them up. I've had one of our clients actually sent me a note a few weeks ago in terms of a drug name for Lilly that's potentially used for obesity. So that's it's really kind of one of the pieces that's really been getting that stock moving. I mean, and you mentioned it earlier in the week that it's been a very nice chart.
16% weight loss with their experimental weight loss therapy tirzepatide. That's pretty good. They're in the phase 3 trial with that. And it's been used a lot with diabetes patients. So, that's pretty promising there. with Lilly and a weight loss therapy, some kind of a drug that produced 16% weight loss. That's pretty good. Okay, MasterCard. Let's get into some of these earnings here. MasterCard. Well, you know, MasterCard's a good bellwether for the consumer, and it's having a very good day. Excellent report from MasterCard. They beat consensus as cross-border volume strengthens. MasterCard's up 1.4%. We mentioned Lilly. Okay, Caterpillar, which is a pretty good bellwether for the global economy, not so good. Caterpillar stock initially jumped, and now it's down 4%. Caterpillar, not a very good chart on Caterpillar. Northrop Grumman in the defense business, that stock is basically flat after their earnings report today. Merck reported earnings. I know they've got kind of a cliff. No, not them. I guess not. It's AbbVie that has the cliff with that Humira. Merck has, of course, a blockbuster in Keytruda and Gardasil. Merck is basically flat on the day. And let's check one more consumer stock. Domino's Pizza was way up, and now it's down 5.8%. A lot of competition in that pizza business. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Pretty good day in the market across the board, other than a few weak spots here and there. The chip stocks are not participating at all in today's move. Neither are the cloud stocks. And, of course, those are two of the hottest areas of the market. On the other hand, there's some blowout stocks here today. Okay, as I look at the Dow is having a very, very good day here today. Last I looked, up 239, okay. Verizon, up 2.8%. Microsoft, after that powerful earnings report, after the close on Tuesday, it was up 7.5% yesterday. It's up another 2.5% today. Microsoft is our third biggest holding here at Gunderson Capital Management. Disney's having a good day. It's up 1.8%. They're going to sue the pants off Ron DeSantis, right? They launched a lawsuit against Governor DeSantis of Florida. They believe that he is unfairly going after them. We'll see what becomes of that. Will that hurt DeSantis' candidacy for the presidency? Apple's having a good day, up 1.7%. CRM, Salesforce, which is a cloud stock. Okay, there's one cloud stock that's doing okay. It's up 1.6. Boeing's having a good day. I thought that was an excellent news from Boeing yesterday about how many planes they're going to be producing here. They got to make money on every one of those planes they produce. Boeing's up 1.5% today. Raytheon is up 1.1% today. And even a financial, Goldman Sachs, is up 1.1%. Really, the only drag on the Dow today is Caterpillar, which is heavy industrial.
And that's probably on the GDP number even more than it is on their earnings, because their earnings, I think the earnings report came in okay, and of course the GDP number, which Caterpillar being a symbol of kind of growth and investment or globally, it's probably, my guess is that's probably what's dragging on them today in terms of on a go forward basis.
Yeah, wondering if the if there's a slowdown. Caterpillar got into the mining business in a big way. Oh, back during the big boom in commodities.
Yeah, in China for sure.
And so they are definitely tied to China. And I've seen anything tied to China recently. Now, Caterpillar may not sell to China, but they sell to Vale, and they sell to BHP, and they sell to SQM, these companies that use their equipment to mine all of these important. And I've seen a lot of weakness in iron ore pellet stocks, copper. There's definitely China. They're so secretive. We really don't know what their economy is like. But there obviously must be some problems with the Chinese economy. Just watching the way the commodities have been trading recently, they've been very, very weak, including oil, which is down to $75 a barrel. And that's another part of the market that's not working or not participating today are the oil and gas stocks. What is participating? The stock of the day yesterday was Chipotle. Second place was Microsoft. The stock of the day today is Meta. It's unbelievable. It's up 14.7% today in a stunning earnings report coming out of Meta, the company formerly known as Facebook. If you're to look at one of the hottest stocks since October when the whole NASDAQ bottomed, who would have thought that Meta would have led this rebound, but what can I say? It is.
You would have thought that would have been one of the most, the most riskiest ones, right? In terms of ads and other things of, normally in this type of environment, right? You would get less ad spend.
You would think so. Now, we have an article out there on Meta, which I don't know how old it is, maybe a year and a half or so. We were very bullish on Meta for a long time.
Just because it was beat down sentiment. And, that was the one thing, of course, that I feel like Republicans and Democrats could agree on, that no one liked Zuckerberg.
Yeah, no one liked Zuckerberg. And it seemed like he had lost his way with the metaverse and everything. Had gotten off into la-la land. And, man, it's a stunning turnaround. Another one that's kind of surprising, I bet you didn't know this one's in the NASDAQ, Hasbro. The toy stock is up 10.5%. Okay, so that's, that's a bellwether for kids and whatnot and spending on kids. First Republic Bank is up 7.6% today. I'm sure that's easing the markets a little bit. It was really, yesterday, it was down 25-30%. It looked terminal. It may still be terminal, but it is getting a little bit of a booster today. KLAC, which is a chip equipment stock, basically the only chip stock kind of participating in today's move, it's up 5%. Now, here's the one that all eyes are going to be on. I'm telling you what, this is going to be a massive earnings report when Amazon reports tonight. Look at that chart. That's a great chart in Amazon. So I would just say the anticipation is running very high. And if you look and say, well, look at Microsoft. They blew the earnings. The Chipotle. Look at Meta. Look at Google. Why wouldn't Amazon also have a blowout report tonight? And then I guess on the downside, you look at UPS, and it had a horrible report. But, man, the tension is building and the anticipation is building for Amazon. It's up over 4% right now to 109. It looks really, really good right now. They better deliver. That's all I can say.
Well, it gives us a good swath of, they're kind of, almost a, conglomerate to a certain extent, because it gives us, not only their AWS business, which is, the cloud service side of it, which is, what helped Microsoft and Google in their numbers. But also, right, it's consumer stock in terms
exactly.
of what we purchase. And it's also a streamer and bunch of other stuff.
It's everything.
They shoot
people
to the moon, right?
This has been a lot of fun. We'll have to come back and do this again tomorrow. I always enjoy doing the show. I really like doing the research every morning and seeing all of the things that are happening, trying to keep on top of things. I'm working on my best idea list, which hopefully will be available every week. Monday of every week, after I've done my whole newsletter, my weekend of study, my weekend of thought, reboot on Monday, with the best idea list. Something I've wanted to do for a long time, and it's gonna happen. So be prepared for that. That's gonna come out every Monday. Just a few good ideas, and a lot of them are gonna be under the radar. You can contact us at GundersonCapital.com. get the newsletter. Or if you'd like a portfolio review, 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.